welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with a former and current Lincoln beat reporter. Before we get to this week's comments, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor Hahn's conversation with Lincoln head coach Moses Harper.
All right, well, you're coming off your first win as a head coach, a homecoming win last week, and a pretty dominant one at that. So just kind of walk me through the emotions that you felt after that game and the team felt.
Well, the emotions was high to actually get a win. And these guys, man, they went out and signed a football for me and had a football to present to me and presented me with the game football. So emotions was very high for myself. My family was here in attendance. And my hat goes off to these guys because they stuck through it. And they're starting to buy in and believe everything we're telling them. There's still some things that we still have to grow from week to week. But I'd rather be working on things after a win than after a loss.
Yeah, and just kind of what does that win and the way they were able to get it do for the confidence of this team?
Well, I think each quarter they start getting better. And now on the sidelines when we win the first quarter, they start saying, hey, that we won that one, let's win the next one. They won the second quarter. And the group I had against SBU when they went in 10-7 were celebrating in the locker room. But this group, when they went in the locker room, they were a lot more focused on, hey, we got to go finish two quarters and let's go win this thing for us.
Yeah, just focus rolling off of that. What's the focus level been like coming off that win and headed into another game this week?
Well, the focus is let's see if we can get a winning streak. Hell, we know what a losing streak looks like. So let's see if we can try to put one together back-to-back. And it got a team that's going to probably be evenly matched with us on paper. And we're going to go out here and try to see if we can put our best foot forward and get a win.
Yeah, and just looking into that Northeastern State offense, what should fans expect?
You'll see a team that's doing quite a few things on offense. They had a lot of success where they came from at the junior college ranks. They've played a really tough schedule up until this point. Playing those MIAA competitions. So they've definitely had a test going through it, but we played in some physical games and some good football teams in our conference as well. So that offense, they'll play a two-quarterback system, so we got to get our work cut out for us to see how we can stop them both.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned it. The MIAA, seen it a few times covering Lincoln through the years, but just it is a gauntlet of a schedule. Them headed into this week, just kind of what do you think their hunger level is like?
Well, their hunger level has got to be, for them, their hunger level has got to be, hey, this is a game we've won. And this is a game we've competed against when we were in MIAA. On our side, we got to be hungry because we see what the victory tastes like. So now let's see if we can continue to build off of that one and go out and just play again. Let's play for four quarters and try to see if we can control the line of scrimmage and run the football.
Yeah, and same thing on the other side of the ball. Obviously, their defense has taken some lumps throughout this year, but it is partly due to the competition they are playing. So what do you expect from their defense?
About 85 and close to 90% of their defense is all new because there's a lot of junior college transfer guys. So they'll base four down front. They don't do a lot. They just call a base D. And now I say that, and we may go out there and they may try to heat us up. So because they may think it's a level playing field. So we'll see what we're running into. But on film, it's a base sound defense. They don't make a ton of mistakes. It's just they play some stiff competition in some spots, and they were outmanned.
All right, that was Lincoln head coach Moses Harper. So just to do a little bit of table setting, there's actually three of us here today because of some scheduling wonkiness. Normal Lincoln beat reporter Trevor Hahn was unable to cover last week's game. Way to go, Trevor. They actually got a win and you weren't there. So filling in, it's a blast to the past. It's Greg Jackson, former Lincoln beat reporter. So, Greg, welcome back to the beat.
I'm 1-0.
You did it. You were the rally ender. So, okay, so let's just set the table. Lincoln, you know, finally got a win, 140-14 on homecoming against Lincoln of California. Snapped their 42-game winning streak.
Yeah.
It was all because Greg was there.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with it. Lincoln was better than Lincoln, California. It was all about who was going to come out and deliver the first blow. I think, you know, Lincoln coming out and scoring the first touchdown was big. The pick six was probably the play of the game. Lincoln, California was inside the 10, and ball just gets batted up in the air. Dante Moore just catches it and runs 97 yards the other way for a touchdown, and just like that. I mean, You've been to a lot of those games, Tony. I mean, obviously the homecoming crowd is the biggest crowd they're going to have all year. So when you have a play like that, I mean, the crowd came alive probably like it hadn't been in 5 years. So
right.
I think the players really fed off that. If you take a look at the game, there wasn't, I mean, neither team had more than 200 yards total offense. So it wasn't like, I mean, and actually Lincoln, California outgained Lincoln.
Well, I was going to ask you, how does that happen where you, I mean, I guess it's special teams and odd things to happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to get to 40 points and not get to 200 yards, it was an eye-opener for me to look at that.
So, again, what you know, how Lincoln got the first touchdown was that Lincoln, California had a minus three. I mean, didn't shank it, or was, I mean, he did shank it, it wasn't blocked, it just, you know, went out of bounds 3 yards shy of the line of scrimmage, so they take over at the 18-yard touchdown run the very next play. So, yeah. I mean, it was like, I remember I was watching, I was like, okay, is this going to be where somebody makes the first mistake, or somebody takes grab of this game first, and it was the mistake, it was a first mistake, and Lincoln didn't waste it.
Well, and you mentioned that backwards punt, and you go, okay, this might be as hapless a team as we might have thought they would have been coming in. So you think, okay, well, this team, this is going to be completely overmatched. It's going to be like this every game. Lincoln may win 90-0. Obviously they went on to cruise to a comfortable win, but I don't think it was necessarily, you know, as much of a bumbling, stumbling crew that they would have thought, because it sounded like at times Lincoln, California was able to make Lincoln have to work for things.
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln, California had a couple of decent running backs. You know, Alton Bell had 9 for 51, Josh Ward, who got a lot of carries in the second half and scored the touchdown in the second half, 8 for 26. You know, just the 5 turnovers were, I mean, that's how you win a game when you have less than 200 yards total offense, is 5 turnovers. So credit to the defense. I thought the defense played a heck of a game. By the way, the defense only gave up that one touchdown run. You know, the first touchdown for the Oaklanders was on a punt return. If I remember right, it was like, Lincoln was punting out of its end zone. It bounced at the 33 into Lincoln, California player's arms, and boom, he just ran it in. To Lincoln's credit, they didn't really let that get to him. They kind of shut it down. A lot like we had talked earlier in the Jefferson City game, Lincoln scores a touchdown in the last minute of the second half to get some momentum going in the locker room, and they kept that momentum going. Also, I thought it was big to see Mo Al-Wali to... am I pronouncing that right?
Al-Wali,
there we go. He had a couple of nice field goals in the fourth quarter. Had a 52-yarder that had the distance. It was just off to the left a little bit. So, you know, I think they have to feel pretty confident in all three phases with the way they play.
So, Trevor, you have a question?
I do want to chime in on that. I talked to Moses Harper about that this week, and he mentioned that trying that 52-yarder was big for them, especially being in the GLBC this year. They see a game down the stretch of the season. They don't know exactly what game it's going to be, where a game might come down to a long field goal,
right.
And they wanted to get Mo in that situation and see if he does have the leg in game to do it, and they were able to see that he can make those. Obviously, it missed a little bit left, but they really wanted to put him in that situation and see how he reacted, and it was cool to see him hit a 50-yarder and almost make a 52.
Yeah, the 50-yarder looked very... I mean, 50-yarder and 52 were same distance as the 51. Just, you know, 50 just got through the uprights. 52 just barely missed.
Okay. And while this is all well and good, and obviously you want to win, you get a win. You want to win on homecoming, you get a win on homecoming. I think the one thing that really stood out to me, though, looking at the box score when I looked at it, 3 of 11 passing for 18 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good against anybody, and it's not good against a team that we don't think is very good. So that might be problematic going forward. I think how much of a cause for concern is this from the standpoint of, like, were they close to completing any passes? Were they way off? Was it just they're just not any good at it? How problematic is this going to be as a harbinger for what's to come here the next couple games?
My recollection is a lot of the incomplete passes were some downfield balls where they're trying to, I mean, first and 10 type balls where they're just trying to get that big play.
Sure. Okay.
One of the three completions was a nice touchdown, was the touchdown pass to end the first half. I thought that was a nice ball. You know, I thought Isaiah Tate looked, again, I know the numbers aren't great, but I thought he ran the offense well. They did actually run a number of wildcat plays that kind of caught me off guard, simply because, I mean, anytime you watch football, if you see a team do the wildcat, you know what's happening. Whoever takes the snap is going to run the ball.
Right.
And Lincoln, California couldn't stop them when they did that. So that's what kind of caught me off guard, was the number of times Lincoln, Missouri did did a wildcat formation. But when it keeps working, why would you stop?
Right, right. Well, I guess the end result is, what, the first win since 2018?
2019. It's Northeastern State, which, hey, segue, hey, tag, you're in.
I'm in.
All right, so Trevor, this week's game is at said Northeastern State. It's a Northeastern State. The team is not good this year, but I also think that it's going to bear some numbers to bear this out. They are 0-5. I think they're transitioning to the point where they're not playing. They're playing all the MIAAs, but they're not a football competing member in the MIAA. They're kind of an affiliate member or whatever. So they played an all MIAA schedule this year, and I think where it bears some looking at is the fact that they've been close. I mean, yes, they've lost, but they've lost 33-31 to Missouri Western, 63-21 to Central Missouri was big, 37-0 to Fort Hays State was big, but you only lose 27-20 to Missouri Southern and 48-14 to Emporia State. So there are some big numbers in there, but it's also there's some close games in there. So I don't think it's like a Northeastern State where I think a lot of people, when the schedule came out and people were looking at it, Lincoln was like, maybe, okay, if we don't get that win finally against Lincoln of California, it might be Northeastern State. I don't think Northeastern State's the Northeastern State where it's been struggling for a little while.
Yeah, and it's two programs in a very similar position. Obviously, Lincoln's in its first year with head coach Moses Harper. They were in the situation that Northeastern State was in last year where they were playing all the MIAA schools, but it wasn't really counting for a conference record for either side. And Northeastern State's in that this year, and they have a new coach, and Darren Chiaverini, I think is how I'm going to pronounce that.
All right.
Former wide receiver at Colorado. It says he spent some time in the NFL. He came over from Chaffey College, where he took a team that went 2-18 in the prior two seasons of him taking over, and went 11-0 in his first year.
Yep.
So he has a reputation for being able to build programs, and it's a team that's probably trying to find that some sort of momentum or any positives to build on, like right. Lincoln was, and they've been itching for that win. Obviously, Northeastern State's losing streak isn't anywhere near what Lincoln's was. I think right. They're at 10 straight losses, somewhere in there. So they are gaining some momentum, and obviously Lincoln knows better than anybody. The MIAA is extremely tough, and
right.
They're playing. Granted, the two teams that they were within a touchdown of are the bottom two teams in the MIAA this year. But as Lincoln knows, again, the bottom of the MIAA is still
right.
towards
still
the top half of most leagues.
Right.
So they're being competitive, and that's a big thing. And it seems like Coach has brought over quite a few guys from Chaffey. So they have guys that know the system and already are comfortable playing within that system. So they're ahead of the game of what you would think of a team with a first-year head coach that has struggled mightily in the past like they have.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth noting, too, that today's game is in Tahlequah. It's the first time that Northeastern State has been home in more than a month. You know, they've had a stretch where they've been on the road a lot. They're now getting ready for this being the first game of a three-game homestand. So I gotta imagine it's gonna be like, they're like, finally, you know, we're not on a bus, we're not going somewhere, we're at home. So I think it's just another one of those things where you look at it and go, not shaping up as a positive for Lincoln. It's gonna be one more thing to have to overcome, because I'm sure they're going to be energized for being home, and the home crowd's going to be energized.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're looking at this opportunity against Lincoln as kind of a licking their chops moment of this is the one to win.
Right.
They get to go outside of the MIAA, which I'm sure feels very good for them right now after playing all those high-powered offenses that
yeah.
they've played so far this year. And I think it also worth noting that both of those close losses did come at home.
Yeah.
So they have proven that they've been able to be competitive on their home field, and they're looking at this as their opportunity to finally get in the win column.
Yeah. 6 o'clock game tonight. I think that everything's going to be important in this one, but if there's one key that you can go, okay, this is the thing we're going to fix on, if this is good tonight for the Blue Tigers, they're able to get a win tonight.
And, I mean, we've mentioned it so many times already this year, sustaining drives. And,
okay.
and going back to the game last week where they had less than 200 yards of offense
right.
and 40 points, only one of their four offensive touchdowns started on the other side of the 50.
Okay.
And that was at the Lincoln, or the 41. It
okay.
was a 59-yard drive.
Yeah.
So it's not like last week they were able to put together those long, sustained drives that they've been looking for all year. And, I mean, some of that has to do with the fact that you can only start from the point where you get the football.
Right.
So the defense helped with that, and that was a major positive that they were talking about. And they're starting to find a way to play complementary football, and that's going to be big for them because this offense isn't all of a sudden going to become high-powered all of a sudden
sure.
this year.
Right.
And the defense has shown signs of progression
yep.
over the last few weeks, and it seems like they played their best game of the season last week. So if the defense can force a couple of those short fields to kind of eliminate the pressure on the offense to go out and put up 28, 31 points, however many you think is going to win this game. If they can get those short fields again, they've proven that they can capitalize on those. So that's probably the biggest key.
Right. The defense holding Lincoln, California over 12 on third down was huge
right,
last
right,
week.
Right, yeah. So it sounds like that side of the ball might be fine. So again, we hate to put all the pressure on one side of the ball, but it sounds like if the defense is playing better, we know we have a good kicker, we know we have a good punter, then what's the remaining variable? We got to get the offense playing better.
And yeah, you guys talked about quarterback play in the passing game. Obviously, the numbers for Isaiah Tate have not been good this year. There's no way to really sugarcoat that. But in his defense, and it seemed like it was kind of an issue last week, a lot of those pass attempts are 30-yard passes down the field.
Yeah.
And it's not a very high percentage play.
Sure.
And it was something I talked with Coach Harper about this week, and it's trying to incorporate some sort of intermediate passing game.
Okay.
They've shown that they will throw screens every now and then. They've shown they're going to throw the go routes and the post routes down the field. So defenses are going to prepare for those too.
Right.
So what does that leave open? Everything in the middle.
Right.
So they have to find some sort of way to get crossing routes, in cuts, anything over the middle of the field, and kind of make defenses worry about more things to stop, because you're not going to be able to run the ball efficiently every single week if defenses are playing to stop that. You're not going to be able to efficiently complete deep passes all the time. And that all leads back to sustaining drives.
Yep.
And that is kind of the key piece that's missing for them. And at least they are aware of that. So that's a good sign.
Right.
Trevor, the question I was going to ask you, and I don't really remember paying attention a whole lot, but the couple games you've watched at home, have the corners and defensive backs kind of been playing up on the line against the wide receivers, which is why they really can't throw a lot of those short passes and they feel forced to have to throw those one-on-one deep balls?
They're trying to do anything to take away the guys in the box to stop the run.
Okay.
And they're waiting for those opportunities to take the deep shot. And yes, they have a lot of young and unproven wide receivers, so a lot of teams are going to play tough man-to-man press coverage on them, and that also gets them closer to the line of scrimmage to make a tackle in the running game. So it's kind of a lot of different factors that play into it, and it all leads back to Lincoln not being able to do what they want to do, and that's run the football efficiently, and that's because teams are geared up to stop that so much.
That was a good question, Greg, but stop auditioning for my job. It's not all that. All right? So with that being said, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. Trevor, do the Blue Tigers get a winning streak going this week?
I'm glad you said that. That's probably going to be the lead of my preview that's coming out in the paper today. Winning streaks have been done before. That's the other part of that quote. I don't think they necessarily get the win today, but I think they're going to be highly competitive in this game, like they've shown they've been able to in recent past of this season. So I think I predicted 20-17 Northeastern State, so I'll roll with that.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson and Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.